Well, good morning.
Good morning.
You look a long ways away. Maybe that's good. I don't know if the guy in the back could throw a tomato this far or not, but anyway, it's great to be here. It's humbling to be here. Some of you, as I look out, know me from my childhood. Yikes. And if you'd have asked me or some of you if you ever thought you would see me standing here, I would bet against that. But here I am. I thought about making a joke about everybody looking older, but that includes me, so I did hear Erwin Lutzer make a joke about himself a couple of years ago. I think it was his 80th birthday, and he was getting up and looking at himself in the mirror. And he asked his wife, "Honey, I don't look 80, do I?" I'm not 80, by the way. But her reply was, "No, but you used to." I thought that was pretty good. But anyway, you want to turn to Proverbs, but it'll be a few minutes before we get there. Right in the middle of the scriptures, people tell you if you open up your Bible right in the middle, you turn to Psalms, and you might hit Psalms. But one thing for sure, if you open up your Bible somewhere in the middle, you'll hit either Job or Psalms or Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. Those four books are known, as you probably well know, as wisdom literature. And I like to think of Proverbs, mostly from Solomon, not unlike the parables of Jesus. Jesus taught in parables, sometimes to make things easy to understand, sometimes to make things hard to understand. Solomon's Proverbs are much the same way. They're just designed to make you stop and think and ask yourself, is this something that I should be scratching my head over? Do I understand what's going on here? Wisdom is defined in the scripture always in relation to God. In the context of scripture, you are not wise, nor can you be wise if you do not consider God in your equation. Jesus, in his parable in Luke 12, refers to the rich farmer as a fool. He wasn't saying the man lacked intellect. He wasn't intellectually deficient. He wasn't even unsuccessful. He had so much that he was building extra barns. But he was a fool, Jesus said, because he didn't take God into account in his plans. Apart from God, none of us are very wise, especially me, because many of you know me so well, I wouldn't want you to think for a minute that I'm here because I've got things figured out. Anything but that. Anything but that. But if you look closely at Proverbs, Solomon does a better job of illustrating and demonstrating wisdom, contrasting that with foolishness, than he does really defining it. And we'll do that today, I hope. Wisdom is more demonstrated than defined. And Solomon identifies characteristics that ought to mark us as wise in the circumstances of life. And there are a host of them in Proverbs. Relationships. Husband and wife, fathers and sons, neighbors, employees, employers, so on and so forth. Speech. How to learn to control your tongue. I don't know about you, but I almost always speak when I shouldn't, and when I should, I don't say anything. I get it all backwards. Wealth, criticism, patience, and a host of others. But this morning, where wisdom comes from, and then three or four of these circumstances, patience, criticism, speech, so forth. But I want to look, first of all, at another of the wisdom books, and if you have your Bible open, you can turn back just a few pages to Job 28. Job is thought to be by most scholars as maybe the oldest book in the Bible. Job was probably a contemporary of Abraham. And what you read in Proverbs, Solomon wrote hundreds of years after Job, you see him saying some of the same things that Job said in the context. And if you know the story of Job, Job is desperate for wisdom. He is a righteous man, even by God's own saying. Have you considered my servant Job? He is upright, righteous in everything. But he's lost his family, 10 children. You know, from time to time, at our little church in Brimley, there'd be a tragedy. Someone would lose a child, maybe an infant born and only makes it a few weeks and dies. Or maybe a young father has an accident and dies. And the grief and the agony and the confusion and the doubting that goes on in those circumstances, you can understand it. You can understand it. And think of Job, 10 children gone like that. And all of his possessions. And then his health. And he doesn't understand any of it. And Job is all about this search for understanding. And I think of your pastor, John, this morning. What in the world is going on? And you don't know. Nobody knows. God knows. Job doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't understand. He wants desperately to understand. So we pick up, if you want to follow, Job 28. We'll start at verse 12 and read the rest of this chapter. Just by way of introduction, what time am I supposed to be done here? Noon? Noon?
Whatever.
I promise you it won't, but listen to Job. Where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding come from? Man does not comprehend its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. It cannot be bought. The sea, says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed in silver. It cannot be bought with the gold of Ophir, with precious onyx or sapphires. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it. Do you consider wisdom that valuable? Job says it is. Nor can it be had for jewels of gold. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. The topaz of Cush cannot compare with it. It cannot be bought with pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the ways of it, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the end of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And God said to man, the fear of the Lord, or the reverence of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to turn from evil is understanding. And so Job goes on, and his friends go on for at least 10 more chapters. And finally, Job pauses to take a breath for a minute, and the Lord speaks. Chapter 38 says that then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. Who is this, God says, that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man, and I will question you, and you will answer me. I would not want to be Job right now. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you understand. And God goes on for two chapters questioning Job about things he cannot possibly know or understand. And finally, Job answers back, chapter 42. Job replies to the Lord, I know you can do all things. No plans of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Job confesses, surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to understand. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent and in dust and ashes. So we say all that just to say this, that right purpose, the right purpose of wisdom is to bring us to God. The right purpose of wisdom is to bring us to God. And think about Job. Think about yourself for a minute. Would you be willing to go through what Job went through if you could just see God? I remember years ago reading a testimony by R.C. Sproul. He was a little bit anxious, but he was talking about all the people that claim to have seen God and wondering about that. And he said, if I knew I could, I would crawl across cut glass if I could see God for sure. Wow. If you knew that God was on the other side of whatever he is putting you through right now, would it be worth it? Our desire ought to be to see God first. And the circumstances that he brings our way, no matter how hard, are designed to do that. So in the end, we become people filled with wisdom, with the knowledge of God. So we have these things before us in Proverbs 1. Now you can turn there and we'll read just an introduction to Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord. Or the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So Solomon then in Proverbs goes on to demonstrate and illustrate what wisdom should look like. We mentioned that. And so I have a list, and I'm sure we won't get through it. You'd have to be extra patient, but the first principle of wisdom is that wisdom does not come from man. this past spring, we had three or four graduates. We almost always give our high school graduates Bibles for their graduation gift. But this year I came across a little devotional written by an author, actually a pastor of Southern Michigan, called Do Not Follow Your Heart. And we gave that along with the Bibles. It's great advice. Wisdom does not come from within. Consider Proverbs 16. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Proverbs 21:2, awful close to the same. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 say exactly the same thing. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Proverbs 3, do not be wise in your own eyes. Revere the Lord and turn from evil. That's what Job said. Proverbs 26:12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. I was going to start by asking you whether or not you thought you were wise or not, but I thought, well, that's kind of a leading question. I better not do that. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 28, a rich man may be wise in his own eyes, but a poor man with discernment sees through him. Wisdom does not come from within. A second principle is this, and by the way, I picked these because these are the ones I'm the worst at. I struggle with every one of these things. And I take solace. My wife would confess to you, and she's not here this morning, but she would tell you that I struggle with all these. But she tells me I'm improving. So that's good. The second principle is patience. Patience displays wisdom. Proverbs 14:29, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Proverbs 16:32, better a patient man than a warrior. A man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Proverbs 19, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. How are you at overlooking offenses? This business of getting even all the time. I don't know about you, but I can be pretty patient when it comes to waiting to get even. That's not the way you're supposed to exercise patience. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Patience is developed in waiting for the Lord. And one of the things I remind myself of all the time is nobody has been more patient with me than God. Why he hasn't given up, why he hasn't just said, you know, you've messed this up for the last time. I'm not, but he is so patient. Isaiah says, those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. Isaiah 30, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Wisdom is displayed in patience. A third principle is a wise person learns to take criticism to heart. Generally, I don't like it when people criticize me. And not just generally, but specifically too. I don't like criticism. I like compliments. And I like assurance and praise and that kind of stuff. Proverbs 9:8, and the context is somebody who doesn't like criticism, Solomon describes as a mocker. Rebuke a mocker, and he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. The next verse, instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. Proverbs 13, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke, Proverbs 15, will be at home among the wise. Part of wisdom is embracing the hard but true criticisms that people tell you about yourself. How are you doing? Boy, I'll tell you what, nothing. I have more trouble with this probably than anything. I just don't like criticism. But Solomon says a wise person listens to criticism and makes the adjustments. Fourth principle, a wise person learns to control his tongue. There are six things the Lord hates. Seven are detestable to him, and one of those, we won't list all seven, but one of those is a lying tongue. Have you ever told a lie? You know, this is almost comical to me. I don't know anybody who hasn't told a lie, but they rationalize. And they will say what they said was not a lie. It was a deception, but not a lie. It wasn't the whole truth, but it wasn't a lie. It was on and on, but it wasn't a lie. Nonsense. I just heard a great quote. The person escaped me. A half-truth is a total lie. A half-truth is a total lie. There are six things the Lord hates. One is a lying tongue. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, sin is not far off, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs 11, a man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. Proverbs 15, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15, the tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of fools gushes folly. And in Proverbs 15:4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life. But a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And there are many more. But what do you conclude? If you're like me, I conclude I'm not very wise, but I can be. God's made it possible. Solomon offers remedy. Trust in the Lord. Everybody's favorite verse from Proverbs almost. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But Proverbs 3, 7, I hear quoted rarely. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Revere the Lord and turn from evil. This will bring health to your bones and nourishment to your body. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. If you skip over to the New Testament, James says, ask this question, does any of you lack wisdom? He should ask of God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to him. I love that phrase, and he will give generously without finding fault. If you're like me, usually when you go to God is because one of the reasons you go to God is because you've messed things up again. And I remember as a child, a teenager, when I had to go to my parents after I messed things up, what do you usually get? A lecture, right? You know, I told you you shouldn't have done that. How many times are we going to have to go over this? Da, 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 on and on and on and on and on. No wonder you want out of the house, right? You're just tired of listening to that stuff. But not God. Let him ask of God, and he will give generously without finding fault. I don't know why. It's just the way he is. He's so gracious, so kind. And I also think he knows. He's going to mess it up again. That's okay. He'll come back. Some of the critics of the wisdom literature say that there is not in the literature, that would be Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, enough there to really lead a person to salvation or to Christ. Well, they are Old Testament scriptures for sure, but I don't agree with that at all. Listen to Job in Job 19. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another, and how my heart yearns within me. Wow, I'd say Job was looking forward to something that hadn't happened yet. But then Proverbs 30, the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, his utterance. This man declared to Ithiel, you call, surely I am more stupid than anyone. I do not have the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One. But then these questions, who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in his garments? Who has established the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Tell me if you know. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. God has revealed wisdom to us so that we can find it and that we can know it. He has revealed wisdom to us through his word and through Jesus, our Redeemer. May God give us wisdom to seek it out where it can be found. Amen. 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 Father God, we thank you again for your word, the challenges that we find there, the direction that we find there, the advice. Lord, give us the wisdom to apply it to our hearts and our minds. May your spirit be free to work in our lives as we seek to know your word and your son. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.